Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are Dukes and Bell. A couple of news notes before we get to our dogs report, should I say, coming up here. We're going to talk about tonight's college football playoff committee and the rankings. But, Mike, the Falcons released linebacker Jermaine Grace on the active roster. We're thinking that maybe after Monday's game, Jalen Collins becomes available to be put back on the active roster. So I don't know what they'll do between now and then, but Jermaine Grace, linebacker, released. And by the way, for those who forgot, Collins suspended for the first 10 weeks of the season.
Correct. So coming off the week 10, then again, perhaps back in the mix, and hopefully he can contribute. They did talk to Byron Maxwell for a minute. He eventually did sign with the Seahawks once, of course, they lose Richard Sherman. Speaking of injuries real quick, also in the NFC South, Curtis Samuel having a pretty good year out of Ohio State.
Yeah.
Some ligament damage in his ankle. Panthers shutting him down. So in a year where they trade Kelvin Benjamin in the anticipation that Samuel could step up, along with Funchess, he is out of the mix right now for Carolina, so they may have to go find somebody off their waiver wire or practice squad. Yeah, you call T.O.
He is available.
Call Ochocinco while you're at it.
Hey, we're going to give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Hawks take on Toronto Saturday, November 25th. And then you're going to be entered into a random drawing for the Hawks Fan Tunnel Experience. So stay tuned. We'll give you the chance to win those tickets between now and 7 o'clock right here on Dukes and Bell. All right, man. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Obviously, it was a Falcon Monday and the big win over the Cowboys. But for dog fans, before we get into some of this college football ranking stuff, you know, for dog fans, we pointed this out yesterday, and for those who might have missed it, the goals are still attainable, Mike. But you got to win out, and you got to win the SEC championship game. Yes, the Auburn loss hurt. Yeah, you got kicked in the face. But, you know, if you beat Kentucky and you beat Georgia Tech, and then you go handle your business in the SEC championship game, I think the way this ranking is going to be set up, that the dogs could easily be in the top four again. Now, you may not be number one. I don't think that's possible, but you'll be in the top four because I truly believe whoever wins the SEC championship game, even if it's a two-loss Auburn team.
Right, you punch your ticket to the championships, to the Final Four.
It will be in there.
Yeah, Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, Clemson right now, 1-4. Georgia, 7 in both the coaches' poll and the AP. Maybe you get lucky and you get to 6th in this college football playoff committee. We'll get that tonight around 7 o'clock on ESPN, but I wouldn't bet on it. But you're right. You just laid out the scenario. But you got to get your head right now. How does Kirby and the coaching staff, after, let's be honest, a pretty, I wouldn't say humiliating, but darn near close loss to Auburn, to get your head right to play a 7-3 Wildcat team, which is no joke.
Well, let's hear from Kirby. First of all, talking about seniors. It's their final game. And, you know, there are a bunch of guys that came back on this team that could have went to the NFL with one goal in mind. Here's Kirby talking about the seniors.
It's last home game for a group of guys who've been really special to me, but they've been really special to this Dog Nation and the legacy they leave behind. And a lot of them, you know, had opportunities to come out, and it'll be their last chance. So really want to challenge our fan base to come out and support these guys.
He went on to talk about how this team is going to respond to the leaders, Mike. And, you know, I said it, physically, you're better than Kentucky. You should go ahead and handle your business. But mentally, where is your head right now after this Auburn loss? Here's what Kirby had to say about the leaders on this team.
A lot of that demeanor is created through the body language of the coaching staff and the training staff and the players, the leaders. You know, how do they approach it? How does Roquan go out to practice? How does Nick Chubb? How does Sony? Because a lot of guys will be looking to them, and how they respond is kind of the right way to go about it.
Well, what about the team after this Auburn loss? Because it's easy to say, all right, let's forget about it. And then you got guys still lingering in that moment.
First thing I've seen is guys come in here with a good attitude yesterday, ready to work, good spirits, leaders talking, communicating, got to be around the players and eat with them yesterday. You know, these guys, they'll respond the right way. They're made of the right stuff, and that's all we can ask them to do.
He talked earlier about those seniors, everybody from John Atkins to Lorenzo Carter, who's been balling, that you, Davin Bellamy, the guys that decided to come back. You know, I mean, this is a team which can still accomplish some great things, but you've got to be able to flush it, as you said, flush out your headgear and get ready to roll, and hopefully Jim Chaney as well. Build a better mousetrap for a potential rematch. You know, Auburn, Alabama, that Iron Bowl is going to be unbelievable.
It is.
It really is. And by the way, we're still waiting to see when the Georgia-Georgia Tech game is, right? Sam, there's still a chance it could be a night game at Bobby Dodd? Still an outside chance that could be the time for that.
Hey, what did Gus Malzahn say after the game about how they beat the Dogs?
Beat the dog crap out of them?
Okay, here's Kirby's response.
I'll be honest with you. I think when you perform the way they did on the field, you earn the right to say really whatever you want. So I don't get into what Gus says, and he probably doesn't get into what I say.
And he's right. I mean, honestly. Now, do you think, just let me ask you.
They both wear visors.
Do you think Kirby would have said that?
No.
I don't either.
But Gus, remember, a year ago, it was the hot seat ball with him and Les Miles, you know, just a year ago.
Now.
And, I mean, he's an emotional guy, and, you know, this is one to just chirp about a little bit. You know, you don't love yourself, no one else will love you, Carl.
Well, that's true, and I love me. But you're number one, and you're playing the number one team, and you beat them that way. You know, again, you got a right to pound your chest. I agree with what Kirby had to say. But remember, guys, this goes back. Kirby at Alabama. I mean, it's not like these guys don't know each other.
There's a lot of history there.
There's a lot of history between Kirby's defenses at Bama and Auburn when Gus was there, well, and then Gus left. These guys know each other, so it's not like this is new to them.
But I mean, I don't know of anybody on the Alabama coaching staff, because Saban wouldn't let you talk any trash other than Kiffin, you know, who's not there and is not there anymore. But, yeah, Monroe for Auburn and then Alabama in the Iron Bowl. And, of course, Georgia, as you said, with Kentucky and then Georgia Tech.
All right, man. As far as the rankings, the AP poll came out. I think it'll look similar for me tonight. Alabama, Miami, Canes, man. And let's talk about Mark Richt for a second. I don't know if it's me. I don't know if you're seeing the same thing I am. When he left Georgia, remember he went off on the reporter at the tail end of his tenure here, where he was like, who told you that? Who told you to ask that? It was just a different tone. I see Coach Richt now smiling. He's giggling on the field. He's clowning with the sideline reporter. It's just a different vibe. I actually think he's having fun, and it's a reflection of how the team is playing.
You know, it's a team that's got, you got great athletes in South Florida, and it's something that the Miami fans have been clamoring for, to have the swagger back and embrace it. I mean, think about how stiff Al Golden was. Can you imagine Al Golden with a turnover chain on the sideline?
Never.
Like, now, some would say that Mark Richt is gimmicky with some of the things, the black jerseys and the blackouts and all that, but there are certain things that the kids feed off. And one of the things, you know, he told Malik Rozier, be aggressive, man. Just pick it up when you see it and the field opens up. Run, man. That's the only thing I think that could trip up Miami against Clemson in that ACC championship game, is if Rozier has turned the ball over throwing it. Because defensively, you could also argue, I mean, has Clemson seen a defense like that yet, other than maybe what Auburn brought the second week of the season?
No. No. And I also believe, Mike, that for whatever it's worth, because he is a Cane, he went there, that all those former great Canes that went on to the NFL have embraced Coach Richt.
And Ed Reed was on the sideline last week.
Absolutely. Yep. There is something, and I'm not going to tell you that they haven't been there as other coaches, but I feel like this is just a little bit different. And Mark Richt has embraced the swagger thing. That's who we are. That's what we're known for. So, you know, you had other coaches come in there and go, oh, like you said, I'll go. Can't do that. No, we don't want to do that. Mark Richt's like, do it. Let's do it.
And also, Travis Homer doing a great job since Walton went down. Picking up the slack, Walton gets injured in the Florida State game, and he's a little undersized, but he's tough as a box of nails, man. So he's running around making plays. You've got athletic receivers, but that defense is getting after it. Meanwhile, Clemson. What do you make of Clemson's performance against FSU?
Good point.
Other than FSU showed that they're not coached well because they don't play against the bad teams. They get up for the good teams.
Yeah, I know Clemson has been challenged. You know, you can talk about some of the games that you've seen, and, you know, you lose at Syracuse, and everybody's like, oh. All right, but are you still telling me that Clemson's not one of the best teams in the country? I think they are.
You trust Kelly Bryant? He still doesn't look 100% to me.
No.
Even though they're letting him run a little bit more the last couple of games, I don't know about that.
If you were to play the ACC championship game this weekend, I'm picking Miami, okay? They're not playing it this weekend, but if you were, a couple of weeks from now, let's wait to see. I want to see, you know, what Miami does after that big emotional win over Notre Dame. They got Virginia this weekend. I want to see a couple more weeks. But I will tell you, that to me is going to be an interesting and epic game as well, the ACC championship game. It's the Canes and Clemson. And right now, I'm leaning Miami, even though we're still a few weeks away.
But don't make like Rich Rodriguez in West Virginia and lose to Pitt. Remember that years ago?
Right.
They got Pitt, by the way. That's a game that they'll play at Heinz Field. And then, as you mentioned, the ACC championship. Their first ever, after all these years in the ACC, Miami's playing their first championship game.
All right, man. As we know, the Dogs lost, Notre Dame lost. So the top four is going to change. I think Miami's two. Oklahoma, all right? They've worked their way back into this thing. And they're going to be either three or four, and I think Clemson is either three or four. That's what I think is going to be the top four tonight.
Now, it will be interesting if Wisconsin, let's say they basically manhandle Michigan, you know, and then do they get even more consideration? That'll be something to see. They'll get the big bounce when they play whoever they're going to play in the Big Ten Championship. But Wisconsin, because of their schedule, is still on the outside at five.
And Auburn is at six. That's where you got to have Auburn in front of Georgia now. And I think Auburn, knowing that they still have to play Alabama, and that's going to be epic. Either way, it's going to change the dynamic of what the four will look like. So I got Wisconsin, Auburn, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and still Oklahoma State, who probably is going to end up playing Oklahoma. Well, I mean, we're going to see, but yeah,
is this the year they're going to really regret that they put this championship game in place? They don't have divisions over there. They just take the 1-2, right? That's what's going to play in their championship game.
They are. Everybody, it's a round robin. Everybody plays everybody, and then the top two teams play in the championship game. But you know the whole deal with that, Mike, is we got a championship game.
Well, you needed to add that extra game because that's what was keeping them on the outside looking. I still think they should have gotten more friends, but they don't want to split that pie up.
Yeah.
So they like it with, ironically, it's a Big 12 with 10.
All right, we go on the sidelines with the dogs every day. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yaman. And hey, guys, coming up, they'll have it up, posted up, I believe, by the end of the week, 929thegame.com. We're giving away a $10,000 man cave. It's a second year Win My Man Cave from our buddies at Brightbox. If you're looking for entertainment or automation for your home, these are the guys to call. And when I say entertainment, not bringing girls to your house. I mean, I'll set up TVs and stuff. 770-901-2500. Brightbox, it is a cool rate company.
All right, two other quick college stories that we're going to be talking about between now and the time that they hire somebody, and that's in the SEC East. Tennessee's looking for a new head football coach, as well as Florida. Florida, you know, cut the cord with McElwain a few weeks ago, and everybody's aware of that. Tennessee finally did it after an ugly Missouri loss last weekend. Where do they go? And who are going to be the guys to lead those programs moving forward? You know, there was a time where you looked at the SEC East and you went, man, look at the coaches in this conference. I mean, on this side,
right,
it was name brands. Not the case anymore. Missouri, you know, I think they're eventually going to make a move as well. Tennessee, Florida. I think Derek Mason's doing as good of a job as maybe you can do with Vandy right now.
Well, I think Muschamp's having a decent season in South Carolina.
I do too.
They're still look potential for a New Year's Day game for the Gamecocks. And Mark Stoops, a guy, you know, it takes a while. But remember, 8 wins at Kentucky is great. You know, 9 even better. And they're 7-3 right now.
So, Tennessee, and you mentioned this, John Gruden. I don't think it's going to happen, all right? For Tennessee fans, like, Gruden. It's not about the money. He just doesn't want to coach college.
His ego's too big to have some 18-year-old kid tell him no and have to deal with all the recruiting nonsense. He was in an interview joking around going, you kidding me? I'd get somebody in suspension, like, real quick. So that I would think that would scare off most colleges. And, like, it's a pipe dream that he's going back there. I think a lot of coaches, and I think it's human nature. You love hearing your name out there in the mix and people talking about how good you are, but he's going to come back into the pros. Now, to the Buccaneers, we could argue that, but I think Gruden wants, he's got the itch to get back in there.
That's the way I feel. Listen, I'll never say never, because you never know. You walk into a room and all of a sudden the guy says, here's $10 million. You know, I mean, I don't know what it would take to get Gruden back.
But the Florida Florida thing with Chip Kelly is definitely heating up. Even though with the show cause penalty, which is about to expire, you're still worried about him, you know, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. But they need offense down there.
Big time. Hey, man, Grady Jarrett, Falcons defensive lineman, joins Dukes and Bell for his weekly visit. My guess is Grady's going to be in a good mood.
Report is on. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get a chance to visit with Grady Jarrett each and every week here on Dukes and Bell. And we say, what's up? And congratulations to Grady. Big win, man, at home. We needed that one, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, man. So good to get that win. What's up? How y'all doing today?
Yeah, man. How come Poe gets to be the fullback, man? Why aren't you lobbying for that job?
Look, man, it's all good. You see 330-pound man coming at you, you don't got one choice but to get out the way. So so he did a great job in there and, you know, in the actual run and in the play-action game. So, I mean, he did a great job.
Yeah, he did, man. It was interesting to see him in the backfield. I got to give you guys credit, though, up front before we get into the game that Adrian had. But you guys did a really good job of stopping the run. And I think the week before you came on and said, we realize that's something we got to do against the Cowboys. And you didn't know if Zeke was playing or not. It didn't make a difference.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We know definitely we wanted to go out and stop the run, be physical up front. You know, they had a pretty good offensive line coming in the game. But we knew we could match up really well with them. Yeah, for the most part. Very good to go out success against the run. And, yeah, like I said, you know, you can't take away the talent that Zeke is. But at the end of the day, they were going to do what they did with the other two, you know, former Pro Bowl running backs that they have. So they have talent running the ball, and we were just good enough to get us some stops.
We talked a lot about it. It's Grady Jarrett joins us, brought to you by Cobb County Kia. I mean, look, if you've got a guy who's in for another guy, you got to exploit it. And Adrian Claiborne, man, it was like a human highlight reel for one game. And you guys were feeding off the energy. Were you guys talking during the game, man? I mean, there's more sacks to come, man. What was the conversation?
Oh, man, it was amazing to watch. And, you know, as a rusher, you know, I'm sitting there rushing, and then see the quarterback go down. It's like, dang, it got – well, not dang, but it's like, yeah, they got him. then it's like, yeah, dang, AC again. He's in 99. And it's like, dang, he having a good day. But, I mean, it's awesome for him to go out there and have that success. And, you know, it's kind of like when you get to a certain point, you get to like 3-4, it's like, man, go get another one. Go get another one. So it don't matter. I don't care. Like, in this league, man, it don't matter, you know, who you rushing or who's in the game. Whenever you're able to get a game like that, 6 sacks, you know, that's a special day, you know. And but, you know, without a doubt, you know, he had a great day, and that just make him more hungry, make us more hungry. And it was fun to watch, fun to be a part of.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, there's no doubt. It was almost, I'll be honest with you, it was almost like a video game in the stands. It was like, again? You know, it was almost like the same play over and over and over. We're talking with our man Grady Jarrett here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And Grady, of course, brought to you by our friends at Cobb County Kia. As far as Devondre Campbell, because I don't know if people realize this, he had 13 tackles on the day, 11 solos. He was also all over the field on Sunday.
Yeah, man, he had a really good day, you know, whether it's playing the screen game, playing the run game, dropping down the pass game, and also being a rusher for us at the same time. He's a guy who's very, very versatile and does many good things at a high level. So he had a really good day. You know, it was pretty quiet to me. Like, when I saw the stat, I was like, dang, I didn't even realize. But, yeah, man, he had a huge impact on that game. Also had a couple, 2 or 3 tackle for loss. So, I mean, he did a really good job. And, you know, his arrow's definitely going up. I'm happy to be able to play with him.
It is Grady Jarrett. We've talked all season about, like, the ups and downs. And, you know, we were saying on Friday, do your job. Well, everybody did their job, and the offense, you know, got things moving. What about this next road trip, man, Seattle? I mean, we obviously lost the game. We probably should have won over there. But, man, it's almost like that loss fed into some real momentum for the team last season.
Yeah, we got one up there, fought a hard game. Ended up coming out on a losing end. You know, I felt, you know, we played them so hard that I just had a feeling we were going to be able to see them again, which we did in the playoffs, ended up getting a win. So, you know, it's two teams that go back and forth, two teams with, you know, similar styles, similar makeups, and it's fun. It's fun. I like playing in that, you know, hostile area. It's going to be Monday night. The guys are going to be charged up. You know, they got a great fan base, so do we. I'm sure we're going to travel heavy. So, I mean, we're looking forward to it. I'm sure this is one a lot of people had circled on their schedule.
Grady, how did it feel to see the offense clicking the way it did? You know, I talked about this yesterday. For me, you know, we could talk about the sacks and all of that, but I think the turning point was us coming out in the third quarter and going down the field and scoring, which is something we hadn't been accustomed to, you know, in the previous 5 games. And I thought it really set the tone for the second half, but just watching that, how good did it feel to see those guys clicking?
It felt really good, you know, to see them guys moving. Having such success moving that ball down the field, making big plays, making big catches that we know that they're capable of making. And, you know, like you just said, coming out of halftime and going out and scoring and setting the tone for the rest of the game was awesome. And, you know, so, I mean, for us on the inside, we're not really surprised. And we are happy to see them have success, but we know what they're capable of. And, you know, they've shown what they're capable of. So it was good to see them have some success and, you know, get that little mojo back, get the swag, and it was awesome.
It's a Grady Jarrett with us, brought to you by our buddies at Cobb County Kia. Grady joins us every Tuesday right here, and it's a victory Monday and Tuesday. Seattle, man, I don't know how much you got to see them of late. Russell Wilson moving around, making things happen in the pocket. I mean, obviously the idea will be to keep him between the hash marks?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I think going after somebody aggressively is better than kind of sitting back waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see what we want to do, you know, as far as how we're going to prepare throughout the week. But, you know, definitely a, you know, super talented guy on the ground and with his arm. And got a lot of, you know, options out of receiver and, you know, running back group that does a lot of different things that give us a lot of different looks. So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be really fun. A challenge, nonetheless, but, you know, a really good matchup.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't want to say it's a rivalry, but with Coach Quinn's history there and the way that we've had to play them during the regular season and then in the playoffs the last couple of seasons, there's a little something there, would you say?
Without a doubt. And that's kind of what I was saying earlier about, you know, it's fun when these two teams be able to go together, go against each other because, you know, like I said, kind of two similar styles from kind of almost two similar belief systems as far as, you know, Coach Q coming from under that system and having a lot of success, but, you know, definitely doing things in his own way. And so, I mean, it's fun. I think it's fun. And but it's definitely going to be intense, you know, two highly, highly competitive, prideful organizations, and we look forward to it.
Obviously, big guy not having Free out there. We're going to wait and see what happens with him with the concussion protocol. But are you confident Tevin can handle the load?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think he's shown that on multiple occasions that, you know, whenever his number's called, he's ready to handle that load, whether it's as a runner or receiver. And he's made plenty plays for us before. They wouldn't be, you know, considered one of the best duos if he wasn't able to carry his weight. So, I mean, I'm excited to see him carry his weight. But at the same time, we know Free going to do everything in his power to try to be on the field and so where he can be safe, you know. So we definitely want to take his time with that. So that'll take care of itself. We feel like that'll take care of itself. However it ended up going out, I'm going to be fully confident.
Grady, how would you judge yourself at this point in the season? Are you satisfied with how you've played, where you're at, where the D-line's at? You got 7 weeks. And, you know, what is it that you feel like you need to do better to help this football team?
I feel like, you know, I always want to strive to get better. As far as where I'm at on a personal level, you know, just an individual, I feel like I'm playing strong. I'm playing strong and, you know, being disruptive, you know, leading the league in tackle for loss. And but at the same time, you know, I'm a guy who, you know, who's highly competitive and want my numbers to reflect it. You know, personally, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm super satisfied with my sack numbers, but I know it's going to come. You know, I'm getting a lot of quarterback hits and pressures, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to work as a unison and get things done together. But as far as the D-line, I feel like we're playing well together. We're playing strong in the run. Guys are stepping up in the pass rush, and, you know, definitely there's flashes of how good we can be. Just got to be more consistent as a defense, almost the same story. The guys are playing super, super hard for each other, super fast. And we're just getting better as the year go on. And we got to stop, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot sometimes with our penalties of bringing back, take back some of our turnovers. But, you know, so I feel like being disciplined going forward is going to be absolutely incredible for us. And as a team, I mean, we're a group of guys who are going to go hard for each other, you know, every week, every day. And we're going to challenge ourselves to continue to be our best. And know that the best is always yet to come. You know, people say it sounds like saying a beating drum when I say that, but if you don't have that kind of mindset, I mean, you're going to be a victim of your circumstances. And I refuse to be. So we hard-minded dudes that know that the best is out there for us, and we're going to continue to reach that until this clock run out for the season. So, I mean, we're going to work every day, and everybody trying to get better.
That's right, man. And Dan Quinn said it was a brotherhood win, first thing he said in the press conference. I mean, yeah, you got those division opponents coming up. Also, some bad blood between the owners. Let's get your professional opinion, Grady. Could Arthur take Jerry Jones in a fight?
Man, I don't know. Arthur kind of, you know, I'll be – Walter be walking cool around there. Walter got some strength to him now. Take his hands. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen Walter work out a little bit now. He don't play. No, I'm just playing. But, I mean, it's sure it's all in, you know, it's all in good fun, you know. I mean, I ain't going to sit here and say I don't think he took a little pride, you know, having him come down to that new stadium, you know,
right.
First time. Getting a little W with Mr. Jones in the building as well. So we had a good day, a good little time after the game with some big smiles, I say that.
That's good. That's good, man. Well, hey, we certainly appreciate you jumping on with us week in and week out. Continue to grind, man. Take a couple of days here, and then it's back to it. Seattle Monday night. You'll be able to listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grady, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys, man. Good hearing, talking to you every week.
You too, man.
Go get them. Yeah, man. You know, there's some definite extra juice. A Monday night game, you heard Grady. Players always get up for it. Not to mention, we got some history now between us and Seattle the last couple of years.
It's interesting. We're going to be all over it, man. We'll start talking about it more here tomorrow. But a reminder, college football game time presented by Bud Light at McCray's Tavern in Midtown as Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, and John Fricke broadcast live from 11 to 3 p.m. to talk all things college football on Saturday.
All right, you want to see me have a heart attack?
Yeah, man.
You know who a potential leading candidate for the Tennessee job could be?
Who's that?
Jimbo Fisher.
What?
We'll talk about it next.
You can score a touchdown with Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Stop by Kauffman Tire today for a free 3-minute auto check. Go Falcons. It is Dukes and Bell, man. And our thanks to Grady Jarrett for stopping by. In good spirits, and Mike, he should be. I mean, the way they played against the Cowboys. But can we build on it? And that's one thing we're going to talk about in the Falcon Report coming up in 20 minutes.
It was funny because right when we were wrapping things up with Grady, they were showing highlights of the defense and obviously the monster day for Adrian Claiborne on NFL Network. And there was one of the sacks, which is right by the line of scrimmage, where Grady actually flushes Dak Prescott out and then Claiborne just jumps on him like he's a bear. Man, it was just so much fun to watch. And again, hopefully they build off that momentum. I like the line, though. They won't be the victims of circumstance. You know, so look, everyone knows, and we talked to Pete Prisco earlier from CBS Sports, you got the talent. Do your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like also that he admits that there is a little extra sauce with this Seattle matchup.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've beaten them. Now, this goes back to 2012, right, when we were in the playoffs, and Russell Wilson was just kind of figuring it out. And, you know, that was a game where, for those who were here and remember, you know, we get to the NFC Championship game and come up short against the 49ers.
That was Roddy White schooling Richard Sherman on a big deep pass from Matt Ryan, and Roddy getting in Richard Sherman's face. And then, of course, last year, the game where, you know, I mean, we just have to go on and drive a few more yards and get a long field goal. But Julio's pass interference, no call on Richard Sherman, a game that the Falcons really should have won. They scored all those, what, 21 unanswered points to start the second half.
Yeah, but then, you know, you fast forward even to last year, and you talk about our run. And when it started, I think it was Pete Prisco who joined us earlier. And for those who missed it, you'll get a chance to hear that a little bit later on. But Pete was talking about the fact that, you know, that was a confidence builder for our Falcons.
Even in the loss, yeah.
Yeah, even in the loss. So, you know, here's some, last few years, our point is there's some history there. And with Coach Quinn's, you know, similar philosophy and all the stuff that's going on, there's a little bit of a rivalry. I'm not going to say it's all, you know, it's not New Orleans. We know that. But there's a little bit of something there. Hey, man, you mentioned something as in regards to college football. I'm kind of surprised, but then again, I'm not, because his name has come up in various conversations.
Yeah, now some of this is writers' wishful thinking. Talking about Florida State's Jimbo Fisher, who apparently is on the short list for Texas A&M, and the only reason you would give some life to this, it's a $7 million buyout. The coaches, assistant coaches are a consideration as well, so it's not cheap if you want to come after Jimbo Fisher. But it seems like there's certainly a couple of regents at Texas A&M that have put him in the crosshairs, much like LSU got a little bit of putting that cart before the horse when they were trying to move Les Miles out a couple of years ago.
You threw this out to me, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about where the fan level is as far as the frustration with Jimbo at Florida State right now. You know,
I just think there's a number, just like any other school, that has some, there's a bunch of coaches, and Jimbo is loyal almost to a fault, the way Mark Richt was at times with other guys. Remember Willie Martinez? Remember the old defensive coordinator that people used to pull their hair out about? So I think in the case of Jimbo, his defensive coordinator, Kelly, and the line coach, Trickett, I think a lot of Florida State fans say they got to go. And Jimbo might, if the athletic director said, look, you got to make these moves, Jimbo might say, well, pound sand, and then Jimbo might take his football to either Knoxville or to College Station.
Well, and the College Station thing's been out there a few weeks. I mentioned it. And I'll say this, too. Has he done everything he can do at Florida State? Guys, the days of coaches being at programs 20 years are gone, okay? We're not going to see the Bear Bryants of the world. We're not going to see, you know, every week we have Vince Dooley on. We're not going to see the years of those coaches, you know, being at a particular school for that amount of time anymore. I truly don't believe it, Mike. I think just the way things are now and the way fan bases are, the money that's involved, let's be honest, you can be a lousy coach, Butch, and get paid, and you don't have to be even if you're winning, you don't have to be there long. But even if you're losing, you still make a lot of money. My point is this. If you're a coach that takes over a program, wins a national championship, okay, and you're in contention for the next couple of years at winning one, and then all of a sudden things get sour, I mean, I just feel like coaches are going to be more prone now to move on than in years past. You go back and guys stayed, Mike. They stayed through the thick and thin, and that was our guy. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to have that. And my point is, if Jimbo leaves, it would not surprise me. It's the one thing that still irks me about college football, that players have to go through all of this crap to transfer and then can't play. And you got coaches who, when they're fed up, they just leave and they go make more money, you know?
I mean, in the case of Chip Kelly, by the way, there's a lot of steam now for him down in Gainesville. We talked about that show cause penalty. That's basically the NCAA, where if there's any kind of incident, you're on the hook. And if anything else crops up, and I'm not sure what the statute of limitations is, you could find yourself in big trouble for the new program that hires him. But I think Florida is so desperate to get the offensive thing cooking. Fans were spoiled for almost 20 years, from Spurrier to Urban Meyer, longer than that, of having real high-octane offenses. And this has just been wreck under Muschamp's guys, and then, of course, since McElwain came in. But anyway, getting back to Jimbo. Yeah, apparently the Tennessee thing is not out of the realm of the possible. There's an article at CBSSports.com that is talking about it, written by Ben Kirchval, saying that maybe Tennessee could be a spot. The John Gruden thing, that's a pipe dream. He's not going to college. We've talked a lot about that today. But what about Jimbo saying, you know what, you're trying to force some of my assistants out. You know, maybe it has run its course. I don't know if you're a Tennessee fan. I mean, all the things that you've said he accomplished, Carl, the offensive line has struggled. Even in the years when they win the national championship, they don't develop real great offensive line play at Florida State.
Yeah, listen, but if you ask Tennessee fans right now, would they take Jimbo over what they got? The answer is yes.
Yesterday.
And he's a proven winner. You know, I hear this all the time about guys, and I'm one of these guys who believes that you should give college coaches. I've seen the process. You know, it used to be, Mike, you know, and let's use Urban Meyer for an example. You go to a mid-major, right, like Bowling Green, which is Urban Meyer's situation, and then you go to Utah and you win, and then you get your job at Florida and you win. And now he's at Ohio State, and Urban Meyer's going to be there for probably as long as he wants to be. It used to be this process, and I think that's the right way to go about it for guys who are working their way up. But I also think there's something to be said about guys who have done it and know how to do it at this level. And for Tennessee, and I'm just saying for their situation, you don't have time to go get an up-and-coming guy. You better go get somebody who knows what they're doing.
You got to get a name brand plug, and that would be Jimbo Fisher. So, again, $7 million buyout. So Tennessee's got to buy out Butch, and then they got to buy out Jimbo's contract, if that was ever going to go down the road. The other thing, Carl, is Florida State fans, like all college fans, just like Tennessee years ago with Fulmer. Yeah, of course the grass is always greener. That's why you're a college football fan. Fan is short for fanatic. And despite the fact they won a national championship, guys like, okay, Carl, me, who saw you get humiliated by Louisville last year. They dropped a 60 on you. You know, you've seen Clemson win three in a row, and Clemson's brand is better than Florida State's right now. That irks people that cash those, or I should say, that spend the checks on the program.
Yeah, listen, it's tough, but you could be Texas, who's not giving guys enough time to really develop what they're trying to build, and then you get the next guy in there who says, I can't sprinkle pixie dust on this thing and fix it overnight.
And that, by the way, that was the guy, let the record reflect, we were really high on Tom Herman for the Georgia job, and that would have been a disaster.
So, you know, I mean, my point is, if you're going to commit to somebody, and this is where I do give Tennessee credit, they gave Butch 5 years, guys. It's going backwards. It's time to move on. In 5 years in college football, in today's climate, you should know exactly where your program is headed. And, you know, you look at what, for example, Dabo has done at Clemson. You just mentioned it. Look at since Dabo got there and where Clemson is right now, totally different environment and program. Right. And they're putting guys in the NFL. They're recruiting as well as anybody in the country. It's just different. So you got to get the right guy.
Yep. And Mike Norvell, by the way, is a guy that, you know, he's the Memphis coach. He was the where was he at? He was the assistant. He was an offensive coordinator at Arizona State.
Right.
And then he has been there, took over for Fuente. And 8-1 this year right now. And unfortunately, as we heard, who was it that told us when we had the conversation earlier this year? It kind of throws things off. It might have been Aaron Taylor. Because you get other teams now, seasons get derailed because kids are distracted when they hear the rumors about the coach leaving, especially for your underclassmen who got recruited by that guy.
It's going to be interesting. Two big jobs, you know. And I know people want to say, well, this job's better than this job. I'm going to tell you guys, both jobs are really good. But you got to get the right guy. Tennessee's really good. You can win at Tennessee. I know they say, it's been proven. And at Florida, you know you can win.
Tennessee needs a name brand, though. You're right. You don't need that next up-and-coming guy. You need the guy.
Hey, man, we're going to get to our Falcon Report. Also, we want to give you a chance to win some Hawks tickets. Stay tuned. We're going to give you that opportunity. Hawks taking on Toronto Saturday, November 25th. Plus, you'll be entered into a random drawing for the Hawks Fan Tunnel Experience. Stay tuned to Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.